Hoof and mouth.
There's a vaccination for that.
There's no vaccination for hand and foot.
No.
Called dead.
Testing, testing. I think we're streaming right now.
They are.
As a substitute for viruses.
Yeah, everything's set correctly. It looks like we're just moments away from going.
They're willing to tell you.
Oh, yes.
So, I knew of two sets of rules for hand and foot.
So I don't know what I've done differently. I feel like I have less garbage around me for some reason.
There was a website for hand and foot. There was
maybe I've been setting up with so little time I've left piles of stuff around me. I've been able to put them away.
Comes from Alaska. Where people are
snowbound. Why don't you tell us a little bit about what's happening
in the winter, and they want a long game. It would take like loose power to finish a game,
tequilas and whatever.
You know, you didn't have to.
You probably only picked up the news.
You know that you only need one.
Iran, Syria.
Welcome.
Several hundred missiles on Israel.
Sit anywhere.
Did you hear that?
I'm sorry, I didn't, Bob. What happened?
Iran dumped over 100 missiles on Israel.
Really?
Yes.
When did this happen?
Yesterday.
Did they go up?
Really?
And the Iron Dome took out every one of them.
Get to there.
And then Israel went and bombed Syria. And Iran comes to the table and says, today we are going to take out Israel totally.
Today?
And then keyboards in there.
I get
this
Fox News. Burn me.
And it's
no.
So reasonable.
Yeah, I'm checking
right
now.
You know,
a couple of properties
I know. Well, yeah, I know. I know.
4,000.
My daughter's in Chicago, and the taxes are now. You've got to add $23,000.
I did it, and I can't use it.
Yes.
You know, all
the other. Well, you know what Israel did? Arizona this year?
Attack 35 Iranian targets in Syria.
That's what's coming up.
Every vehicle.
So Israel went in and bombed the hell out of.
And they didn't take it to the voter.
They were able to take off a lot of the missiles as well.
My daughter, I wouldn't taste very good. Three of them were drivers. There's four vehicles.
There is so much hatred, I tell you. It just.
Okay.
Right.
My teacher's salary.
Right on. Yeah. There it goes. Well, that was like, you know, when the teachers all wearing that walk out and the governor finally.
Yeah, all I'm seeing is stuff about Israel attacking Iran troops in Syria.
Israel confirmed strikes on Iran targets in Syria after they were in response to surface to surface rocket that Iranian forces fired against Israel.
Oh, that's what Bob's talking about. Yeah.
Over a ski resort in Golan Heights.
Yeah. It would be interesting to see what, how does Mexico enter into this?
You know what's really interesting is these search results, right? Like we're looking for Bob's topic of Iran throwing bombs on Israel, and the only things we're getting is the repercussions. We're getting no articles on Israel's Iran's position. That's
the Bible doesn't mention
the head guy for Iran in their air force. The colonel or general or whatever he is,
or getting reelected,
said today we'll take them out.
Wow. Well, I don't know. I don't have an opinion on any of this or information.
Well,
yeah.
How does it affect Mexico? What would Mexico's position be?
Mexico's a pacifist country. They, they didn't support the war in Afghanistan. They didn't support the bombing in Iraq. Very much so. They're not an aggressive country at all. And it actually hurt their immigration stance with the United States after 9/11 because they wouldn't take a position with the United States to go to war. And so the United States scrapped all their immigration plans at that moment, said none of that's important right now. We were just bombed on our home territory.
Yeah. So Mexico is trying to be another Switzerland.
Well, they always are.
They're showing more humanity, and they have, through the years, they've been very humane with immigrants coming up.
Well, and then in stark contrast to that, years later, we've got Katrina going on, and we don't have troops to send to help the people in the south, and Mexico puts together troops and brings up aid.
Yeah,
I mean that's really Mexico's role in the world stage. They can't threaten anybody, but their goal is protection and human rights.
But you don't find that in the American press at all. Nothing positive about it.
Well, it depends on what American press you
name one positive article in the last year
about Mexico. I know I read a lot of positive.
Hey, we're supposed to have started by now, guys.
What are you doing?
I just realized that we should be starting right now.
Yeah.
If anyone's out there in the cyber world, this is Scott Stimson with the San Carlos Computer Club. And
science, technology, and film.
Yeah?
That's what Mexico is known for.
Science, technology, and film?
Yeah. We're starting.
Okay. Hey, we have officially started. It is Tuesday. It is after 9:15. And I'm very flattered that somebody thought that, this is aspirational, this table length. The number of people we can fill. I didn't set this up. Maybe there's something going on here afterwards. But if you're feeling way out there on the fringe, feel free to move a few seats closer so we can get you within earshot.
I thought Bob was on the fringe.
let's be fair. We are all on the fringe. This is the fringe.
Just because I got my chair on your side.
It would be a good thing.
There are people out there listening. I can tell you that.
All right.
I have a friend in Tucson that's listening.
Really?
Hello, friend.
Hello, friend of Bob's in Tucson.
Bob's friend.
I was listening.
Hello, Cheryl. Oh, wait, Cheryl's right here.
I was at home last week.
Dick came here.
Hello, Sid in Alaska and Theo in New York. This is everybody that pays attention to us.
This is your whole group.
That's right. I should get like a list of people out there that I know are listening and just thank them for having any interest.
Dick is in there.
And Dick. All right, Dick.
You can't see who's watching.
Well, you know what? If you're on, there are some tools. Like somebody could get into the discussion group. I've got a chat room here that somebody could pop into, and they could be listening right now. There is a chat that goes alongside the YouTube stuff, so somebody could take a moment and pop in there and leave a comment if they wanted to.
But can you turn on their camera so we can see them?
Exactly.
No.
What was that address?
And you can do this not live?
Yes, you were there. Yes, you can. But
oh, you better get dressed.
You can still do it when we leave?
What's that?
Is it something that we can pull up when we leave?
Right, it's being recorded right now. So it's on YouTube, and then I put it out as a podcast later. You can go to sccclub.org and get all this information. And if you're looking for the YouTube channel, you can go to youtube.scc.org. I made it part of the domain address. So that'll take you right to the YouTube channel, so you don't have to search YouTube. Just type into your browser youtube.sccclub.org. Notice there's two dots in that name. And that takes you right to the YouTube channel.
I've never seen it because I was put in Russian automobile crashes.
That's the problem.
Now, new Russian.
As always, I've showed up with some topics, but I'm very interested in any topics. Chester's got his hand up out here.
I have a question.
With the bush
results, as a result of your lecture on cell phones.
The smartphones presentation.
The question I have is that you and I recall, you would recall working with me when I had Outlook 2007 was deleting my emails on the server.
Okay. I mean, there's a lot in that, but go on.
Yeah. And we fixed that. That works great.
Okay.
And so I decided with a cell phone that I would also download my emails on the cell phone.
Okay.
And when I go to delete them, they're off the server.
Yeah.
So how do I set my cell phone so it doesn't delete my emails off the server?
It sounds like maybe the way it got set up on the cell phone is with an IMAP. And you need to use a POP setting.
But how do I set? I don't know where. I can't figure. I've been online trying to figure an answer, and I can't figure out where to set it.
You know, I'm pulling out my phone right now. I think it's in settings.
It should be in settings.
Under, because it's an Android phone you're using, right?
Right, right.
So under settings, there is an email, and there's also accounts. Accounts is what I have.
But you should be able to go into the IMAP setup and say don't delete it from the server, too.
Unless can you do that under IMAP?
It doesn't delete it from my server.
To allow a copy to remain. But this thing has taken it off.
And then you can explain
it's
the difference between IMAP and
buried.
POP.
It is so buried. Yeah, on mine, it is deeply buried in the settings. Like, during setup, which unfortunately is easier than doing this, if you don't have your email, then at some point during the setup, you had the option to do it manually. And that's where you would take those settings that you have written down and you'd set it up yourself. Otherwise, all these devices try and do it automatically. It grabs the first. IMAP is considered a more desirable setup. And so it tries that first, and if it works, it stays with that and goes on. What Chester is describing is a situation where I don't think you can do it with IMAP. I mean, you might be able to do it on your Macintosh, but I don't think in general it's part of the way IMAP works. And so to do it, you would have to do manual settings and change it to a POP. Yeah, see, I'm in the IMAP server settings in my phone right now. And about the only setting I see here is you can sync. Oh. Maybe. No, I don't see how it would work. If it works, if somebody out there knows how it works, the only way I can think of doing this is by switching to POP settings. Now,
where do you do that?
Yeah, so it's in my phone, and I have to qualify by saying my phone because Androids are all over the board. But in my phone, if you go under account in settings, under accounts, under email, it lists the email accounts that are there under. Yeah, you would choose one of these settings. No. You would choose account settings. Right. And then it lists the accounts again. And then you would pick the account. And it lists all the specifications for that account. And in mine, down at the bottom, it has server settings. Incoming and outgoing. And you're concerned about incoming. And then on incoming, it shows my authentication, my username and password, the server address, which would need to change to the POP address, and then the port number, which would need to change because it's a different, it's not IMAP. I'm still not convinced this is the right way to do this. Chester, we may have to look it up, because I think I would start by eliminating the account. I think that's the best way. If you go into accounts, delete the account you've set up, and then go back through the email setup again. And when it says manual, there'll be some option for configuring it manually, and that's what you want to choose. And that'll allow you to change it to a POP setup. Yes?
So the question is,
question is, do you actually have a choice of IMAP or POP3 if you set up your IMAP?
You do, during the setup. You can choose whether you're going to set up for IMAP or POP3.
And all email programs give you that option.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, I think we could say that. There was probably a period of time way back 15 years ago where you were... I do remember way back in the past, I'm dusting off my brain, but where IMAP was a thing that you desired in an email client. And so you wouldn't enjoy using one that couldn't support IMAP.
Could you set up two with the same program?
Yeah. Yeah, you can set up more than most modern email clients. You can set up more than one mechanism for accessing more than one account. You could even set up an IMAP setup and then a POP setup for the same account right beside it. Yeah, yeah. In most modern email programs, you can do that.
Because a POP does not propagate all your devices. Is that correct?
Yeah, well, that's one of the advantages of IMAP. Is the difference between IMAP and POP3 is that IMAP is doing a duplication across your devices. It's taking what's set up on the server and making it appear that way on your phone, on your tablet, on your laptop, on your desktop. Wherever you're using IMAP to access your email, you're accessing the exact same format and folders that you find on a server. And a good example is like Hotmail. If you're a Hotmail user and you go to your friend's computer and you go to hotmail.com and you sign in, and there's your email, there's your folders where you've been saving your emails and organizing them. But then you go to your phone and you see the exact same list of emails. Everything that you deleted earlier is deleted now. It's not in the phone. POP works differently. What POP does is it allows you to store your emails out on a server and bring them into a device. And so the way that bringing them in, the device is determining how you're going to deal with those email messages, if they're going to be put into separate folders. But it's all based on the device. So when you move to a different device, you have a different experience with POP Mail. You may, on your laptop, have POP Mail bringing all your financial transactions into a folder called banking, whereas on your phone, the folder banking doesn't even exist. And maybe those emails are just right there in the inbox alongside everything else. So that's the real difference between POP and IMAP. One of the disadvantages of POP is that you can wipe out everything on your server. And so when you're setting up POP, you need to think about what your goal is. A lot of older email clients would, by default, delete the messages off of the server when they're sucked into the device. I remember this happening to a lot of folks when they got their first iPhone and they're setting it up for the first time, and their email server doesn't support anything but POP. And the default settings were to delete them. And so the moment the iPhone would pull up all those emails that were sitting on the server, it was deleting them from the server. And now you're not getting them on your other devices. You're only getting them on your phone. It was one of the first things that we had to help people figure out with their smartphones. Because smartphones weren't all that bright to begin with. Now they've gotten a lot smarter. And the default on many of these devices and the email clients are to leave the emails on the server at least for a period of time. And you can see a difference in that. Like Chester's using Outlook 2007. Between 2007 and Outlook 2010, they had changed the default setting so that if you were to set up a POP email account, it would by default leave them on the server, giving you time to set up your settings the way you wanted them. I don't know. Have I gone too far in answering this question?
Along that line, I would like to ask.
Oh, the other there's a disadvantage of IMAP is that if you delete it somewhere, it's deleted everywhere. That's one of the biggest keys to take away from. I'm sorry I didn't mention that before. Some people do not appreciate working in that manner. Some people.
No, that's not really true, though. It's still on the server.
On IMAP, it is not on the server.
If I delete something, I can go into.
Okay, Google's a special. It's an exception. Because Google does this thing called archiving.
Yes.
Yeah, and so you set up your device, depending on its current support for Google, as either by default archiving or by default deleting.
Okay.
You choose that. And I think the default on iDevices with Google support is archiving. Yeah. But you choose that on the device.
Okay.
And that's a Google thing. That's not IMAP-y. That's totally Google doing their own thing with this stuff. I'm sorry, Bob.
That's okay.
I covered everything now.
I know, okay. Well, not quite. You gave this.
No, I did.
You gave the seminar on phones, and I'm sorry that I didn't get to. I just forgot about it. I would hope that maybe you'd do it again. However, I went into your office, and I'm amazed at the amount of technology that we have available right here in this club as a result, as compared to Tucson. They have a huge club, and they don't learn very much. And I went into your office because...
Are you here starting a rivalry? What's the name of them? What do they think they're doing, not including us in this?
I went into your office.
They have proven their incompetence by not mentioning us to our 14 followers.
Will you shut up?
Sorry, Bob. Go ahead.
Thank you. Thank you. I went into your office, and your sister-in-law was there, okay? And I said, I have a phone that my wife insisted that I buy that is a track phone. And track phone doesn't work down here, they say. Mm-hmm. And they say you have to have it a year before you get it
unlocked.
But I've had 7 years with track phone. And so I called them, and they said, okay, find out what the server requires and call us back, okay? So I talked to the supervisor. Okay, then your sister-in-law said that her brother, your brother-in-law, has a business in Wymas.
Yes.
And I know you are into internet, you're into TV, you're into all these things, and you know about phones. Are you in competition with him?
No, not at all. In fact, he's one of our resources and people that come to us with smartphone problems.
He has a business right behind Electra.
That's right.
And I'm going to see him today. That's why I wanted to know.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go see him
today. He could very easily unlock your phone.
That's a possibility.
Yeah. Yeah. Most Android phones can be unlocked. It shouldn't be an issue to get it unlocked.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. But that I thought to myself, how many people, I mean...
There are certain models that they have done goofy things to in the past to make it difficult to unlock them. But now in the United States, they're supposed to be able to unlock them with ease.
Mm-hmm.
But you still have to, like, if you get an AT&T... For example, if you get an AT&T phone, I've had this experience a number of times... And it is locked to their network. Then you have to go through. You have to verify that you own the phone number, that your bill is in good standing, and that the hardware's unique identification number is associated with a good standing account. Mm-hmm. And then they give you like 3 days, and they'll unlock the phone.
Mm-hmm. I've been amazed. Chester last year helped us arrange to copy some DVDs for Grisha. And we went to
I have more coffee, por favor.
We went to Empalme, and we had it all worked out. This guy has a room that is a sound and video room that is to die for. It's like 15 by 15 and just loaded with equipment, and he said he would do it. Now, there's just a lot of things down here like that.
Yeah.
It's amazing me.
Hey, Scott?
Yes, Jim.
You do have a new person And she has a question. She thinks everything's over her head right now.
Oh, we talk about all kinds of stuff. Let's get some questions we can answer.
What's the name of your brother-in-law's business?
In Spanish, the cell phone hospital. I think it's Hospital de Celular. And he is right behind Electra. And really, we are in constant communication with him on projects. Mm-hmm. So if you have like a broken screen or a bad microphone or something like that about your phone, you could quite literally bring it to my office and we'll arrange getting it to him. And he can give you a price on how much it would cost and all that. If you didn't want to have to go to Wymas to deal with it.
Also, on Viva, I think you could search for cell phone repair and get it.
Oh, and get Benny's Benny shop,
the same boat, sort of. I have a track phone, but it's a Samsung. But I want it so I can get all three countries. And I need...
I suspect that he can unblock it without any problem. I had a phone from AT&T that was not with... I just bought it online.
Yeah.
And had to get it disconnected from the network so it could be put on Telcel's network, and he was the one that did it.
And his name is Benny, right?
Benny, Benito, right. Benny.
We have a friend.
Wait, where'd our question person go?
She left.
She left.
She left.
Yep.
Okay.
We have a friend that came down here. With
anybody know what her question was?
No. She was trying to communicate with Microsoft, and hardly knew what they were speaking about.
Well, that's not hard to imagine, because we didn't get to figure out what she was talking about either, and we're much more patient than Microsoft.
She doesn't know anything about the computers, so what we started out was way over her head.
Oh, well, if anybody knows her, encourage her to come back, because we sure didn't mean to forget about her.
She might try again.
Okay.
She was the owner of the Wellness Center.
I was going through the website today cleaning up my documentation, and it says specifically, we have no organization or agenda or order. So anybody showing up has to understand it's just chaos.
No, it's slightly organized.
I have a question. I was still trying to say this about our friend that came down here with, he thought, had international... from Verizon on his phone, and he got a $300 bill.
Oh, no.
Yeah, and then the next month he also got a $300 bill, and in talking with them both times, they said, well, the first time they said, you know, this shouldn't be happening, and when it happened the second time, he found out that he did not have a smartphone, and therefore... they were not going to refund his money, but why did they put him on an international plan if they knew that?
Wow.
Well, and then the international plan is only like $10 more a month.
I know, but they're charging him $300 for
roaming.
They're charging roaming.
He's lucky it was only $300.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. My daughter had the same problem, and she travels internationally all the time.
Does she know this?
No, she has a card holder for SIM cards, and she goes to that country and buys a SIM card.
There you go.
Yeah, that's really...
She does not buy the international.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Is she a spy?
Chester has a comment about Verizon.
Is she a spy?
If I may...
Yes, Jess.
I went into their chat room.
Is she a spy? No. She's a missionary.
Because I heard that you could get unlimited data.
Yes.
And sure enough, you get unlimited data up to 22,000.
Yeah. 22 gigabytes.
You get a slowdown. Mm-hmm. And also, the price went down. I have three phones. It went down by $75.
Oh, wow. You have three phones on the same contract, and they have dropped the price $75?
Yes. And gave us unlimited data and texting and worldwide coverage.
Oh, wow. That's great.
And what company is that?
Verizon.
You got worldwide.
So I would say, what I would suggest is that you, if you haven't been on Verizon and negotiated recently, go do it.
They always are good about that too.
And I did it on the chat room.
Yeah,
it really works nice.
And actually, if you weren't getting any attention, always Twitter. Twitter is a great way to get a hold of somebody that can make decisions, because they're in the the global conversation. They're in the public. So if you're not getting any set, like your friend's experience there, I wouldn't have put up with that for more than about 15 minutes before I would be introducing this whole topic to the rest of the world on mm-hmm. Twitter. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because Facebook is our friend.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why do you have three phones? You only have two ears.
I have two grandchildren with phones.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you're a good grandpa.
Oh,
oh. I used to have five.
Can you push your hand up?
I can. I need to take some time and put it in a form that I can post it.
Oh, I just thought you had a document that you printed.
Yeah. What we had was a document that, well, it's actually two different pictures. And so I need to put it in like a PDF or something so it can be.
I asked for the handout from the session.
Yeah.
From the iPhone session.
The girls are ready to print them out at the office. If,
okay.
But I don't have it in a form to post it. Yeah.
I wanted them electronically.
Yeah, I understand.
We're a paperless society here.
What I can post right now are two photos.
All right.
That's what I can post right now.
Post the two photos. Yeah. I can look at the photos.
Let me make a note of that so I don't forget to do that. Post phone. Smartphone handout. I still need to put together the video and put that out, so I haven't done that yet. You know.
Last week at the end of the session, you said you wanted to talk about Netflix and their password sharing.
Oh, yeah. Actually, that's become big news, but I haven't seen any plan yet. Has anybody seen a plan for when that's going to come into play?
What are they doing?
No. Netflix has announced that they're going to crack down on password sharing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so they're going to be keeping track. I mean, they're already tracking of where these things are being used. But they're raising the price, and they're going to crack down on... And, you know, if I could speculate a little bit... I think they're doing all this preemptively because Disney is about to enter this market and they're going to dominate it.
Right.
they're going to win the internet in this respect. What's up, Ed?
No, I just got to pay back somebody I borrowed some money from. I don't see him here.
I'll take him.
We'll give it to him.
You want to ease your conscience?
I want it.
Adios, guys.
Yeah. All right.
Question.
Oh, Irving.
Oh, it's a new topic.
A new topic? Did I finish that last topic?
Yeah, you did.
What? All right.
Something else.
Go ahead, Irving. What you got?
Okay. So you mentioned Twitter, and you hear about Twitter all day long.
Yeah.
I never use it because I envision that this is intrusive, never-ending nonsense. Is Twitter of any value to people like us?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, if you want, we could talk a bit about Twitter. I've been amazed at how my father has really gotten into it. And for him, what it allows him to do very quickly is draw together a dozen or more sources of what he considers reliable information and put them all on the same page. So he doesn't have to... I mean, that's the most curating that he has to do, is go, well, I like... MSNBC, and I like CNN, and I like Joe Schmo from Alaska Mudflats, and right, and pull all his interests together into one feed that he can go to and just browse through by a swipe. And then, really, Twitter gets used a lot for journalists, and so they're sharing topics that they have written, and you're able to... Where was I going with that? They're sharing topics that are being used in forming a bigger understanding of things out there. So the sources are providing links to I hear them referred to as long reads, where you can get a little information out of a tweet, but the link takes you on to the long read where you get all the details of whatever the subject is. I think... that I was describing using Twitter to talk to the world, I think because Twitter has become such a tool for journalists, they're out there ready to hear stories like this because they want to immediately snatch them up and make them topics that they're writing about. So I think Twitter's been very disruptive in our culture just because of that fact. Journalists use it as a tool, so you can use it as a tool to inform people of what's happening. Companies take it very seriously when you're out there shouting at the world, hey look, they robbed me of $300 just because I didn't understand the phone policy that they put in place. Well, there's a lot of people out there that wouldn't understand that.
So how do you get Twitter?
You just go and sign up for it.
On a phone only?
No, you can do it on web page. Yeah, and I would say don't get personally attached to it. I mean, one of the things that's happened is, especially with celebrities, people start really feeling like they're part of these other people's lives. I mean, very much like a Facebook phenomenon, but with complete strangers. And when people start behaving like that, then other people are taking advantage of them. And there is just visceral, ugly stuff that will be said on Twitter, and you just ignore it. You don't get into that game. That's a whole different level of entertainment that's going on. Some people really find the value of their Twitter or Facebook world is based on how many people are following them. I think Twitter's value is in your selection of the people you follow, because that's a flow of information coming to you that you're curating. I find it to be very... I mean, I use Twitter every day. I use it for finding topics for our club meetings. I use it to stay informed. I've got a Twitter feed for the computer club, which I have religiously curated to all tech topics. So when I'm desperate for any tech news, I just go to my computer club Twitter feed, and it's everything that's happening at CES and the mobile show, and it's all just that kind of stuff. So I think it's very useful to folks like yourselves. I wouldn't be worried about people following you. You don't have to tweet a thing. The value comes from what other people are saying, and you being able to gather, being able to clear out the nonsense and get the stuff that you find important. It might be nonsense to other people. It might be people that are doing vinegar or limoncello. Do not matter to anyone but you. And that's the beauty of Twitter, is I don't have to follow those people. Is there any Twitter questions before we go on?
Well, only like with Facebook, not Facebook, like with commentary on news articles. Some of it is downright stupid, offensive.
Exactly. Right.
And there seems to be problem. Anybody can say anything.
See, I look at those as like rabbit holes. It's like you can see the link, you can see a journalist or somebody passing on the link, somebody that you trust. And to me, I already got the value. Now if I want the entertainment, I can go to the comments section. And I mean, it's like being into watching horror films, right? Like, on the surface, it scare the hell out of my 11-year-old. Well, no, it wouldn't. She's gotten pretty dark recently. but you would think, you think grade school people should not be reading this stuff, and you can enjoy it like you enjoy a horror film. But basically, the value has disappeared the moment you start getting through this commentary, which is interesting. We could have a whole side topic on this area on Facebook. It can get just as visceral. Doesn't seem to happen for the things that Facebook should be for in the first place. Family, friends, events, gatherings. If you were to stay with that stuff, you won't find anything visceral in those comments. Like, oh, she's so sweet. Oh, look, she looks like a butterfly.
Right?
Yeah, yeah. Look at the kitten hanging upside down. I mean, it's great stuff. But if you get into anything that you would typically be passing on a Twitter feed, like news things that aren't intended for your family, yeah, very much so. You immediately start finding people slamming other people. I've got one guy that's a good buddy of mine who is polar opposite politically than I am. And I know all I have to do is get his goat is just just post something, and I call it trolling. I'm just trolling my buddy. Because I know immediately after I post it, he will have a number of things he's got to add to it. And that's where I've gotten my entertainment for the day.
It's hard to beat the entertainment value of flat earth.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
The flat earth. I look at it on YouTube, but
I think I don't Twitter.
Really?
The people that get in the most trouble is they use Facebook like it's Twitter. They use Twitter like it's Facebook. And they start paying attention to all of it like it's Reddit. I don't know if any of you spend any time on Reddit. Reddit has very helpful comments. And it has, I mean, it's everything. It's absolutely everything. There's people making, like, stoner jokes about some very specific topic. He said duty. It's our duty to protect the Middle East. He said duty. And at the same time, you'll find a PhD war scholar that would talk about the history and pass several links of different well-researched articles that back up the article. Reddit is just it's a chaos of all of it. So I guess the only point I would make is don't get into it. Don't marry to it. Don't form a relationship with these social networks. Suck them for the things that are. Facebook is awesome for sharing photos and gatherings and events, planning events. Yep. It's not a great place to share your far left or far right opinions without getting beat up by your family and friends.
But Twitter is, right?
But Twitter is. Twitter's the appropriate place to share that stuff.
Okay, now you say you use it to receive information.
That's right.
Okay, but if you don't want to receive it, you want to give information. It's also a good place, right?
Well, it is, but then you're actually working on your social persona on the internet. I mean, to give you an example, our computer club feed has like 19 followers. Not an influencer at all. Nobody is looking to the San Carlos Computer Club for information. Right? I mean, that's just... There's 19 people following it. I mean, I'm a little flattered. There's a couple of tech journalists that follow the computer club. And they have like 14,000 followers or 50,000 followers, and they've decided to be one of the 19 that have bothered to follow the computer club. And I only speculate it's because we offer an odd perspective on technology in this day and age.
It's like Paul's Flat Earth Society.
Right. We're this little niche group of somewhat retired, living in Mexico, tech-oriented people. We're a niche group.
I'm going to have to look that up.
They've been around forever, the Flat Earth.
Yes, Mike.
I spent a little time with Spotify this week.
Yes.
Spotify is difficult.
It is.
It's a lot of work to put together. Song by song by song by song.
Creating your own playlists.
Yeah.
Hey, are you doing that with a VPN, or are you just using the Mexican?
Mexican Spotify. I'm not sure.
Because it seems like Spotify for a long time wasn't available in Mexico.
I went to it because I thought, what is this? But I have my VPN on for Pandora, so maybe...
Right, because Pandora is definitely not...
I'll shut it off and then try Spotify. But it is a lot of work.
Yeah, I think it is available in Mexico now. And you're creating playlists. I don't know a whole lot about that. Is there anybody else using Spotify?
I tried.
The ladies in the art league she was using Spotify to play music the other day.
Yeah? Do you imagine she was using a VPN? I don't think she would be. My first guess would be no.
What do you think is the best music downloader for the phone?
Music downloader?
Yeah, to be able to...
Or a streaming service, is that what you're talking about?
Right.
You know, I don't have a lot of experience with the streaming services, and it's because of the history of data plans. Yeah. So I'm not the best one to talk about it. I know Spotify, I've been reading, has just put together a new option where you can mute people you don't want to listen to. Like you can specify, like you can blacklist artists so they don't show up in your random feeds. And I thought that's kind of an interesting... I mean, they're all kind of competing for the same ears.
Yeah.
I know that I've been using YouTube Music. If you haven't tried YouTube Music, I highly recommend it. It's it's very cool.
Okay.
But they have a free and a premium. And what they're selling as part of the premium is the ability to leave the app and leave it running.
All
right. Right? So the free version of YouTube Music, YT Music, the whole time it's on the face of your phone or it's on the face of your web browser. You can use it in a computer. Okay. The moment you change focus, it turns off the music. Right?
Yeah.
On my phone listening to music, got to check my email, boom, the music turns off.
Yeah.
On my phone,
nice.
Right, need to text, the music turns off. The feature that they're asking you to pay for is for the music not to turn off.
Really?
Yeah, so that you can leave it running and you can multitask.
Mm.
Right, so you can write your email with the music playing in the background.
All
right. Right? So I think it's an easy thing to try for free. Because it's basically the full package. The other thing that they offer, another premium, they've got a number of premium things, but another premium feature it has is the ability to turn off the music video. Now, they have a lot of music that only has like a thumbnail, and so there isn't video data being passed to the app. You're just looking at an album cover. Kind of a Spotify experience, I imagine, or a Pandora experience where you see an album cover and maybe some details of the song, but there is no video playing. Mm-hmm. But they will build your random playlist out of music videos music that has both video and has, like, album art. Well, the music videos, take up more bandwidth. And you can't turn that off on the free version. So if you're using this on your phone and you're using a data plan,
it's eating up
even more data. And so it may eat up enough data that you only know your economics, that you may want to pay the premium price just so it's not eating up that extra monthly data.
Yeah.
So Spotify is on your phone only, right?
Don't do that.
Spotify is available on various devices.
Okay.
But I'm not... Mike, did you have something to add on that?
I use it on my phone.
Are you guys playing a game against each other down there?
So anyway... About 2 weeks ago, I went to Amazon Prime Mexico and bought a JBL 4 speaker. Like,
oh, okay, yeah.
Twice as big as this coffee cup.
Right, a Bluetooth speaker.
Yeah. Well, I didn't know that. I'm looking for the other wire for like 2 weeks. I said, what the hell? I do my own wire.
You know, JBL, they should have included a new wire with it.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, it's $100. It's well worth the thing. And so you can just Bluetooth your phone right to it, and I've been doing that with Spotify.
Okay, so it's running on your phone, but you're Bluetoothing it to the speaker.
I've always loved Bossa Nova music, so you can find a Bossa Nova playlist. You know, we'll go from even and all that stuff. And it will go on for quite a long period of time. But then another playlist is only 3 songs long. So, but anyway, that JBL speaker is, it was quick delivery from Mexico City, so that was all good.
Well, is it on Alexa? I'm thinking it's on Alexa as a skill.
Oh, yeah, I think you can make an Alexa. I never got a started a relationship with Alexa.
Well, it says that there is a premium Spotify that comes up in the Alexa skill search. So maybe that means you can use it if you're a premium customer.
The Echo is really neat. I call up soft music, hard music, dramatic music, elevator music, or particular writers, that I want to listen to. And she comes back and she usually says it's available.
Now, is Echo separate from Spotify then? I'm not familiar.
Well, yeah,
Echo is a little cone thing you buy for $79.
Echo is the name of the hardware from Amazon. The smart speakers are called Echoes.
All right.
Echo Spot, Echo Show.
Gmail.
Echo
not
Tap.
Gmail, but Google has their own device that's identical, and there's about three companies that have those. Yeah.
Okay. I've been hearing good reviews from the Google Home Hub, which is their smart speaker with a screen.
Ah.
And they intentionally built it without a camera in it so people would feel comfortable
using it. Yeah,
yeah, as a picture frame and as a just as a – I mean, it's funny. I was in somebody's house the other day using an Echo Show, which does have a camera built into it.
Mm-hmm.
And there's something to be said about a smart speaker – that can reply to you with visual results as well. It's not like the weather result comes up with the forecast right there in front of you. The movie results show up. Wait, sure, it is more toys. It's all toys.
Well, Echo will also close your garage door. If you have a refrigerator that's hooked up to a computer, it'll do everything for the refrigerator. It'll close your blinds. And along that line, I wonder if there's still any interest in having CyberCo come and do a deal.
Oh, as far you're talking about Horizon, CyberCo doing
Horizon
the smartphone stuff?
Yeah. Yes, and I don't know whether there's any interest.
It's up to them if they want. I mean, it's up to you guys too, but I don't think any of us mind having a guest speaker, having different information is always interesting. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. They're willing to do it.
Yeah, if they want to do it, they just need to set a time. Just let us know.
So let me get this straight. First you buy a $79 speaker, then a $2,000 refrigerator.
Right.
Keep in mind,
what your refrigerator
if you want the $2,000 refrigerator, you may want to find out if it's compatible with the $79 speaker first. then you're going to have to decide whether the $2,000 fridge or the $80 speaker is more important to you, because you're going to have to adapt to whichever.
Hey!
What's the planned obsolescence?
This is a whole new generation. There is no planned obsolescence. It's planned surveillance. Right? That's what's really going on. They're getting these things out into everybody's home any way they can. Hey, in this vein, I do have a couple of topics that I'd like to just get out because they're getting old and I still think they're interesting. I don't know if anybody paid any attention to CES this year.
The what?
CES, the Consumer Electronics Show. But one of the biggest announcements, at least in my world, is Apple playing friendly with third-party hardware developers.
Really?
Yeah, and what they announced at CES is that Samsung, LG, and Vizio, and Sony are all going to be supporting AirPlay from the Apple devices. AirPlay 2 is the new designation of that standard. But if you don't have an Apple device, what AirPlay does is it looks for devices on your network that you can broadcast to. And it can be video, it can be audio, depending on the device. All it has to be is AirPlay compatible. And so there are speakers out there that are AirPlay compatible. I think Sonos is AirPlay compatible. And now, this is something that we've never had. AirPlay has always been an interesting feature if you live in a whole Apple ecosystem. You basically have to have a tablet and a phone and an Apple TV to really appreciate what it's able to do. On the other side of things, you might be doing it with a Chromecast or some knockoff Android box. But in the Apple world, it was really well dialed in. If you had an Apple TV and you had an Apple phone, then you could broadcast stuff from your phone to your TV without any problem. The that the Apple HomePod is a smart speaker by Apple, and it could very easily connect to your phone. You just find it there as an output, kind of like your speaker, like your headphones output, and you just switch to it and it broadcasts. So this is a big deal. This is a really big deal that these TV manufacturers are going to include AirPlay. But then Samsung announced an iTunes app for their TV set. So this is for, this is moving, Apple moving forward into services. And I imagine it will be in classic Samsung style. To get this app, you probably have to buy a new TV. But right. What this means is that any of your iTunes music, well, they said specifically TV shows and movies, so we'll see if music appears.
You already have Samsung Smart TV?
That's what I'm saying. In classic Samsung style, yeah, you'll probably have to buy a new TV.
Oh.
Yeah.
They have done a lousy job of adding apps to their TV sets. They've got an app store. They could easily add it, but I would imagine, and I would imagine this kind of relationship would only happen, I'm speculating now, if Apple's getting a cut. And their developers are only going to develop for new TVs, because that's the only way that Samsung would give them a cut, is if we're talking about new TV purchases. But this is still an amazing thing, because Apple does not put its software lightly on stuff. Now, what they have done is they put iTunes, or I'm sorry, not iTunes. I keep saying iTunes. I want to say music, Apple Music. They put it on Android 2 years ago so that you could subscribe to their music service, and they could hit you whether you are on an Apple device or not. And I know this is what they're trying to do here with this Samsung licensing, is they're worried about you buying into their music and their movies and their TV collections.
It sounds like your Roku is on the way out. Is that right?
Roku is still a $49 device, and the Apple TV is still a $150 device. Right. So I think that Roku's got a future, because you can do the same kind of activities with a Roku. Roku is
yeah,
a
it's
much
in Mexico again.
Yeah, it's available in Mexico. Yeah. Irving, before I take a question, I just want to say I think I'm finding a theme for what we're talking about, because the streaming, all this stuff is turning into services, just like the Amazon stuff. It's all turning into services. Eventually, they'll just want to hit you with devices so that you can take advantage of these services. This is Apple getting tooled up. Again, going back to Disney, Disney is getting ready to dominate. They do not care what device you have, except they do have a stake in Apple. Right? Mm-hmm. So Apple wants to be able to stream all the content that you're going to get from Disney to any of these manufacturers. And I bet that's what we're going to see next, is that all your Disney content is available through your Apple services. Your Apple services are available on your Samsung TVs as well as on your iDevices, so you can stream them to any of these TVs. And they're fortifying. We're going to have HBO, and we're going to have Netflix, and we're going to have Hulu, and we're going to... Well, actually, Disney owns a stake of Hulu, too, so be ready for Hulu to merge with Disney as soon as they release their monster. Their monster is built by Major League Baseball, which is the streamer online. They are the platform for video streaming. It's going to be very interesting to see what happens. I suspect it's one of the few moves where people might drop Netflix. And I was listening to an interesting conversation today where they were talking about the bill of cable cutting versus cable bills. And the host was saying you can't include Netflix in that bill, because you would own – what statistics have shown is you'll own Netflix right alongside cable. People will do that. People will cut their cable. They won't cut their Netflix. So Netflix can't be included as part of the cost savings, because most people will buy Netflix right alongside a cable package or a DirecTV package. And I've definitely seen that.
I do that.
Netflix free two ways. One is from Cox, and the other is from T-Mobile.
Oh, Cox is giving you Netflix free?
And T-Mobile also.
Yeah. Wow. Wait, you're talking about data usage. You still have to have a Netflix account you pay for.
No.
Really?
I just logged in.
I've seen that advertised.
Logged in. Hmm. The one I use is T-Mobile, but then we have
That's
Cox
interesting. I didn't know that was going on in the States.
So I, with my Cox machine, I just say Netflix, and it brings up the Netflix. Wow. Menu.
That's
and
cool.
You aren't subscribed. You are a Netflix subscriber.
You know,
no, I never paid for Netflix.
Wow.
You know that Claro Video does that here in Mexico.
But you don't realize it.
Yeah. Well,
yes.
But what I'm saying is...
Within.
My Cox account is hundreds of dollars.
T-Mobile, you can bring Netflix wherever you go. Cox, you're sitting there in the house. It seems like you've covered it all like that.
Yeah, I can get Netflix...
Claro Video has done the same thing with your Telmex connections.
Well, right now, I don't think investors are thinking that Netflix is going to go somewhere.
Yeah, but I don't know how to do that.
And Disney comes because the stock is still going up.
Yeah, no, I think Netflix is going to have a shift. They're going to pivot into something else because they can't compete. What they were selling before... is going to be offered in such a different variety and pricing scheme that they're not going to be able to win with that anymore. They're going to have to pivot and do something else.
What's Claro cost?
Nothing if you have Telmex.
States or Canada.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, and if you have Telmex, you can go to Claro Video. Claro Video actually will see your IP address and recognize that you are on a Telmex connection and have free access to them. They will walk you through a setup where you have to give them an email address, but that you won't have to give them a credit card or anything.
Mm-hmm. And what do you get with Claro?
You get a catalog of videos that's available and TV shows.
Total Netflix.
it's basically... it's basically like Netflix. It's actually, probably to be fair, it's more like Amazon Prime because you're already in it. And what they start doing is they promote services that you don't get for free. So there's a bunch of stuff you get for free, but then right in your face it shows, oh, well, here's how you could get this. Sign up for HBO through Claro Video. I'd say, oh, here's a way you can get this. Sign up for Netflix through Claro Video. And they can offer discounts, too. If you do HBO through Claro, I'm not saying they are doing this, but they have the ability to do that. They're able to offer you a different price on that service because you've done it through Claro. Yeah, Bill.
Quick one for CES. One of the company's robots was being allowed to go back to its booth, was run over by one of the
that was beautiful.
Autonomous vehicles.
One of the autonomous robots that was being told to go back to its booth got hit by a Tesla that was running self-driving car software.
I don't know who's getting sued here.
The robot wars have begun.
what's
and we're bystanders.
Robot half family, huh?
Is it recorded by a drone?
Autonomous drone.
That would be way too meta. That would be... That's great. Go ahead, Irving. What you got?
So I didn't use Apple for a lot of years. Unfortunately, their technology advanced and they kind of forced if you want to be up front. One of the reasons I quit then for the music thing is I bought a lot of songs from Apple, not knowing that if I left the service, I lose the songs I paid for.
The thing is that people don't leave services indefinitely. I like your account has access under their terms of service to those songs. Even if those songs are no longer available through Apple, like something has happened with their licensing, but they have to maintain a database that you can download those songs from. If you had bought them, then you should be able to get them from Apple, regardless of without buying them again.
Okay, well, here's something that bothered me. I'm trying to remember, it's been a long time ago.
Yeah.
Sign up for Apple will give you 300 free songs. Okay? Now I sign up for Apple, I use them a few years, I buy a bunch of songs, whatever they want. And then I quit Apple.
Okay, now.
And now I get back, all those 300 are gone, and all of them are mine.
Now,
free song.
First of all, what do you mean by quit Apple? Like you quit paying them?
No, no, you got to pay as you buy. What I did, it was quit using their music service. I guess I was paying a monthly fee.
Okay, so that's a different deal. And that's what they're trying to sell everybody on right now, is go into Apple Music. Apple Music, you pay a monthly fee. You get access to their entire catalog. You can download as many songs as you want. You can put them in as many devices as you want. But they do need to be authorized songs. And after you quit it, now this, I haven't had this experience, but I imagine this is the way it works. Those songs that I took out of it and stuck in my device are good until I need to stick them in my device again. At that point, I can't get access to those songs anymore.
Well, if you download them, here's the point of it. If you download them, it's on your hard drive.
Right.
And then you go to access them and they're blocked. That's what happened to me years ago.
So that's the way it used to work when you would buy stuff.
Right.
Because it would have to talk to Apple and authorize those songs. And you did that through your device. So you didn't have to be online, but your device knew that there's an encryption certificate that authorized these songs to be played.
Okay.
Now all of that DRM is gone. None of that exists anymore.
If I buy a song from any of these streaming devices, I will own it just like
Well, we're talking about Apple right now.
Okay.
Yeah, all the DMR is gone with Apple. And so if you buy a song outright, I want to own this song, you can download it. It's ticked in your account that you own it, so you can go back to your account at any time and re-download it. You can take that file and put it on any of your devices without an issue.
If you download it, why would you have to re-download it?
Because maybe you downloaded, stuck it in your phone, didn't keep a copy of it, and your phone went fishing.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. So you can go to another phone and re-download.
Yeah, yeah. Or you can download it to your computer. I mean, the point is the access to it is still yours,
so you
because you bought it.
If you buy it now, you have permanent access.
Right. Which is different from the Apple Match, the Apple Music system, which is you're paying a monthly fee to have access to the entire catalog. And the moment you stop paying the monthly fee, then you don't have access to those songs anymore.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Question?
Yes, Jester.
What is the best VPN?
Again, the VPN question. This needs to be asked at the beginning, not at the end of the month, because everybody's left. I just recently was helping Christine. Frank, she's been here a number of times. She's got the new TCS, satellite system. No, wait, Chester. That's the new satellite system people have been talking about instead of Telmex, I was over trying to help her with SmartDNS. We couldn't get it working. I sent all the information to their tech people, and they sent back a 2-page email of different things they wanted to check and get screenshots. In a nutshell, what it told me is they don't have a solution. They're looking for the solution.
I WhatsApped Hector Lopez, and he's turning it over to his technicians.
Okay, cool. That's great, because somebody needs to get a smart DNS and verify whether they can make it work or not. So in that case, she's not able to use Netflix as though it's the United States. She's not able to use Amazon Prime as though she's in the United States. Smart DNS is not helping her.
That's all I want. To use Netflix and Prime.
Right. So under that circumstance, Smart DNS is not working. Netflix and Prime, ExpressVPN. I worked with their customer support to get a customer set up.
ExpressVPN?
Wait, Chester, I'm just telling you, okay? We don't have a definitive answer. I think you should ask the question at the beginning and hear everybody's different experiences, because these are my experiences so far. I didn't expect ExpressVPN. Let me start out by saying ExpressVPN is a well-known, highly popularized VPN for security and reliability. It would be one that people would give you as a recommendation. Except my experience trying to get Netflix to work required a long interaction with customer support, before we finally found a server that would work. And I didn't expect it to work. I was at the end of my rope just going, well, this is not going to work. I just need you to tell me it's not going to work. And he kept having me try different locations. Kind of the experience you had with Whytopia, right, when you're changing locations. And finally we found a location that would work. But what that means is that it's like whack-a-mole. That means as soon as Netflix is able to recognize that you're in that location with a VPN, they're going to... And now you're back to doing that process again, trying to find a place for it to work. So I, for your usage, I'm not sure ExpressVPN is the best recommendation. SmartDNS is the one that I was recommending because I had so many great experiences until Christine's experience.
Do you have SmartDNS?
I do. And here's a question for you related to that, SmartDNS. Why can you sign up for Netflix in the States and come down here into the Mexican camera?
Right.
But you sign up for Prime in the States and it doesn't work down.
It does.
Unless I use SmartDNS.
It does work. I understand the comparison you're making. Because you have a services account that allows services in other countries, why you should be able to use it. And actually you are. Without paying for Mexican Prime, there is a catalog of Prime videos from the States that you are allowed to view as a U.S. Prime member somewhere else. Now, I guess I've not gone through that catalog, but I would guess everything in that catalog is directly owned by Amazon. And so they can distribute it in all these other countries without worrying about copyright law.
It must be very limited.
That's right.
I tried to get it with Radio City, Infinitum.
Okay. Radiosity should have nothing to do with it. Well, you need a Prime account.
So I have to create one for down here.
No. Is your Prime account in the
States?
No, in the device you're using. See, that's what it needs. It needs you to sign up.
Sign into the Roku?
Yeah, sign into the Prime Video app on the Roku with your U.S. account. And what you will get is a catalog of things that are considered international. And you'll find the same thing with Netflix. There is a core of things that are international, and it is the stuff that Netflix owns outright. And so they can distribute it anywhere without getting in trouble. Then, on top of that, if you had a Mexican Prime account, you would get that international stuff, and you would get what was licensed for Mexico, which is a different catalog, just like Netflix is a different catalog in Mexico than in the United States.
Do you get that catalog online?
Yeah. Well, you get it through your Amazon Prime Video app. It pops up, and it's tailored by what's available in this region.
So I have to find it on my Roku and
I have Netflix in the United States, and I get it here. But I definitely get a British catalog.
Right.
I'm not paying for Mexican things.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Is you get an abridged catalog of content that's authorized internationally to follow you around because you're a U.S. Prime member. If you buy into the Mexican, then you get access to the catalog of authorized content for this region.
Okay.
So you get that same...
Which also may not include certain programming in the United States.
Oh, it definitely has stuff that's not included in the States.
When I had Mexican.
Yeah.
Okay. That answers it.
Okay, now, this guy right here...
Hello, guy.
...is a writer. He's a writer.
Oh, all right.
And I invited him to come to the club because he sits on a computer all day long... And he knows way more than I know. Now, I know that he talks like a Brit.
Okay.
But I think he was probably born in New York. But I don't think that's right either.
We're just finishing up here, but I'm Scott.
Hi, how are you doing? Sorry, I didn't want to interrupt you.
What's your name?
Eric.
Eric, nice to meet you, Eric.
And your name?
Scott.
Oh, Scott?
Scott.
Oh, so Scotch? and Scotland is very close. Okay. Well, I run a non-profit organization, and I have a webpage, but it's outdated. And I wanted, you know, you cannot always trust all these young people that say they are genius in webpage. So I wanted to...
You're welcome. Eric, let me shut this down, and let me give you some information, okay?
Of course.
Yeah. Thank you. So, everybody has vacated and left me here with this empty table, just me and Paul. Are you ready to do lunch?
No. No, but I have a small question to ask you.
Okay. Should I shut it down or should we record it for posterity?
Okay, I use Whytopia so that I can go to CBS and watch Big Bang Theory.
Okay.
The other day, I tried it and it shows me 1 minute of the program and then stops it and it says that they're unable to download an advertisement, so I cannot, so this program is not available to me. This never happened before.
Oh, wow.
And I think that Microsoft, in their updates, improved Windows so that...
Okay, but go back. You were on a web page using a VPN.
Using Chrome. And I just put CBS.com.
Right. Across the VPN.
After I use Whytopia to log into Long Beach, California, which is a good spot. And so, but first it gives me an advertisement, then some of the program, and then it says we can't download an advertisement.
Right.
So I know they're letting my...
I would double check the stability of your VPN, because it should be, that advertisement should be coming across the VPN as well.
Yeah.
So it shouldn't be an issue. Like, I could imagine that kind of problem existing under something like Smart DNS, because the advertising is coming from different servers.
Oh, yeah.
But in the case of a VPN, it would all be coming through that same channel, so it wouldn't matter if it was a different server. Yeah.
So I tried it several ways and on different programs on Sheldon as a child, you know.
Yeah. You might talk to Whytopia customer support. I bet they've got a chat line there where you could just tell them flat out, I'm trying to do.
It says to disable advertisement blockage, and I don't know that I have that. And one of them came through, so...
Oh, well, and there is a blocker in Chrome.
Yeah, is that...
You might try turning it off just to see if it makes a difference.
So, in the Chrome, in the setup, huh?
Let me open up a Chrome window here. There is... What is it under? It's under... Settings? I guess it's under settings. I thought it was easier to get at than that. Let me find it again here. Search... Where is it? Control F. Block. Oh, weird. Control what information websites can... Oh, wow. I found it. It's not as straightforward as it used to be. If you go into Settings under Advanced, under Private and Security, it's like the second one up from the bottom. Content settings. Control what information websites can use and what content they can show you. And that is a whole list of permissions that include things like pop-ups and redirects, ads. Those are two of the things that are listed there. Pop-ups and redirects and ads. And by default, I think both of them are set to block. And so you could set them to not block.
Okay, I'm... down to advanced, and then private and security, and then...
And then the second from the bottom is content settings. And then if you click on that, there's a list of different kinds of content and different behaviors you can set for them. And Paul, I'm going to shut this down. This has been the San Carlos Computer Club. We meet every Tuesday at Tequila's from 9:15 to 10:15. Paul and I are the only one, and Eric are the only ones left here. So I've got to say goodbye until next Tuesday. Tech on, and I hope everything goes well with you. Adios. Oh, I got to turn this one off too.
Ask Esmeralda if she set this table.